Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday the 24th of February, and I'm recording at 10:10 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this is another interesting day here in the financial markets. The dominant factor in terms of sentiment as far as the European markets and also the Americas were concerned was the situation in Ukraine, and both markets interpreted the change of government as an optimistic development. There inevitably still has to be some concern about what Russia is actually going to do in all this. But really, Vladimir Putin is likely to go charging in with military troops. But again, I remain cautious on this in the sense that I don't think he's going to give up control of the Ukraine all that easily. But at any rate, Wall Street closed up. Actually, it was a little bit disappointing towards the close because it was up 0.64 of a percent on the three main indices. And it gave up at least 40-45% of the gains that we had seen persisting for much of the day here overall. But nevertheless, we did see new highs here for the NASDAQ index and also the S&P. I think I'm right in that. Let me just check that S&P. I don't want to provide false information. Hold on just a second. And did we have that new closing high? We didn't have a new closing high. We touched a new high, pushing above that 1850 level, but it closed just fractionally below it once again. Okay. Also, in the Americas, we had Canada and Mexico up, but small percentages. Brazil, a tiny percentage higher. European markets were a bit steadier. The two outstanding performers, as I look at my screen here, were Sweden, up over 1.5%, and the Spanish IBEX index, up nearly 1.25%, but the Euro Stoxx 50, that was up a solid 0.8% here today. Now, the Asian sector did not fare quite so well. I think it would be less involved with what had been going on in the Ukraine, quite possibly. But Japan slipped just a tiny bit here, very small. But China really was soft in here overall. Now, the Shanghai Composite Index was down 1.75%, but it closed well off its lows, so it was down over 2% at one stage. But the net result of all this is that the rather good short-term technical rally that commenced in mid-January in as far as the Shanghai Composite was concerned, and of course that was taking place while most other stock markets were experiencing the negative January effect and coming down fairly sharply. But in the last 3 days, the Shanghai Composite has given up just about half of those gains on a closing basis. So what's going on here with China still? This is a lingering concern here overall. Partly because China has the potential to be a heavy drag, a heavier drag than it's already been in the last 12 months or so, on a number of commodity-producing markets. So I think if we're going to get a decent recovery in the emerging market sector, that, or beg your pardon, in the commodity producing sectors. And certainly they've taken a beating, and some of them are relatively cheap. But really, we do need to see a somewhat better performance overall from China. I've been thinking for some time that that was going to happen. We have not seen it happen here yet. We've just still been ranging very quietly in this trading range. But China will have a big important influence, and not just on the commodity exporters overall. It'll certainly have a regional influence as well. So that's the question mark in terms of uncertainty that we see, or in terms of the size of China's market. That's probably the biggest question mark that we see here right now, in my opinion. What else is worthy of mention here today? Not much going on in bonds at all, so just very, very quiet here today. What is a much bigger story, though, and has been really for over a month, has been the strength of the CCI, Cumulative Commodity Index. Now, that rallied again. It closed up over 551, so that's risen over 10% from the lower side of its trading range, which was tested on a number of occasions earlier last year and also earlier this year. That strong move has been led by the agricultural commodities. And there are some key themes here that are taking place. And one of the important ones has been the strength of the coffee market. And a lot of that is due to the dry conditions that we see in Brazil. And actually, those dry conditions are affecting more crops than just coffee. But coffee seeing the sharpest rise, given the dominant position that Brazil actually has in that market. Now, while the Arabica contract did not move a whole lot higher, has not moved a whole lot higher here in the last 4 days, it nevertheless still managed to hit another high for this rally. In here today, and it's very, really, all very steady in terms of holding the earlier extremely sharp gains that we'd seen earlier on. So I think at this stage there's still no evidence that the dry weather situation in Brazil has petered out as an influence. I did see reports suggesting that was going to be a little bit more rain appearing. But then I've also read that the damage to the coffee trees is quite likely to affect not only this year's crop, but quite possibly next year's crop as well. Now, also in Asia, with a robust crop, we've had the opposite problem, one of being too much rain, and that has also helped to push commodity prices, coffee prices higher as well. The grain, among the grain and bean staples, soybeans, again affected in Brazil. Those prices were higher here again today, and wheat also had a reasonable gain. Corn was fractionally lower, and I think it closed well off its lows of the day, but it's been down the last 2 or 3 days, and there have been reports coming from the USDA that the U.S. was going to have a much bigger corn crop. Well, those are the intentions, obviously, but are they going to be able to get that into the ground successfully, and is it going to grow successfully and be harvested successfully? So there's all sorts of uncertainty lying ahead there. And corn still looks like a cheap commodity to me, as does wheat and also soybeans. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if we didn't see further strength take place there as well. But it's not just been the soft commodities that have helped to lift the CCI. The precious metal rally has been impressive, and it has continued. And gold today, for instance, is up to $1,336.5. That's up over $12 here today. And silver pushed above 22, got up to 22.21, then gave up some of that rally, and is currently trading just around that 22 level. But nonetheless, that's a very steady performance. And overall, we've seen breakouts to the upside from patterns that are looking increasingly like overall base formation developments. I think a recurring theme in my audios here in recent weeks was that the longer the precious metals could hold in those ranges that we were seeing, is that the more likely they were to break upwards from those ranges. And we have seen this recently, including pushes just marginally above the declining 200-day moving averages overall. It wouldn't be surprising if we saw a little bit of ranging on either side of those moving averages. But any way you weigh it up in terms of these patterns, that's positive action by both gold and also silver. And I always regard silver as just a high beta version of gold. So if gold bullion is going higher, and I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen, then I certainly think silver will move higher as well over the next few weeks and months. On a very short-term basis, we have a bit of a stochastic overbought condition, which you can see in the chart libraries. Now, anything else of consequence here? Crude oil a little firmer. That WTI is back up to 102.81 as I speak. It's still trading after hours. And let's look at just the other contract. The Brent also higher here at 110.71. That's up 84 cents. And in terms of factors influencing that market, well, I'm not sure what's actually taking place for the Brent, but with the WTI contract, certainly the adverse weather conditions in the U.S. have helped to keep that price firm. And the important point over the medium term is that while the Brent contract is still in a trading range, it's not that much of a headwind at $110. But put it $10 to $15 higher, and that certainly will be a negative influence overall. And it'd be good to see that move back down towards the 100 level. I think supply and demand factors should cause that to actually happen over the medium term. But recently, as you know, it has been fairly steady and remains so. And on that note, well, let's just talk about your industrial metals. And briefly on currencies, industrial metals mostly still in their trading ranges, not much of a change in here today overall. The shares, the miners of the leading shares that mine those metals, though, are moving higher, and one of the reasons for that is that they've cut costs and they've also reduced supply somewhat. So their balance sheets are improving, and they're usually a lead indicator for what actually happens to the actual industrial metal prices themselves. And I would say overall that this year has been marked by the outperformance and recoveries of some very depressed assets in terms of both mining shares and agricultural commodities. And I think we'll also see that precious metals, and I think we'll also see that spill over into the industrial metals as time goes on. Last but not least, well, quiet day here for currencies generally. And what I did want to see was US dollar level, it's very quiet here, the around 80.21 on the US dollar index here. The euro is at 137.32, that's down just a tiny fraction, and the pound sterling up a little bit here, 1.6656. So not a whole lot going on in currencies here right now. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.